Hello, I'm George. I'm a member of West Kirby United Reformed Church, and this evening we're going to be looking together at chapter 4 of John's first letter. We've looked in the previous weeks at the first three chapters and at different aspects of love. And the aspect of love we're going to look at this evening is God's love frees us, freedom through God's love. So I'm just going to read part of chapter 4. I'm going to read from verses 10 to 19 of 1 John. This is what it says. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He's given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. How many times is the word love mentioned? John is completely consumed with how important love is. And in verse 10, we see that God's perfect love is shown through what he did in Jesus. And this is what verse 10 says. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. How amazing is that? God took human form through Jesus and came to pay the price for all the things that you and I have ever done wrong and ever will do wrong, and to take the punishment for those sins. And that old-fashioned word sin simply means falling short. Everywhere in our lives where we fall short, Jesus takes the punishment for it. And verse 15 goes on to say, anybody who acknowledges what Jesus does has God within them. Verse 15 says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. This is really encouraging stuff. God's love is so tremendous. He sent Jesus to take human form, to take the punishment for everything we've ever done wrong. And anybody, absolutely anybody, who acknowledges what Jesus did has God within them. Wow. And then verse 16 tells us very simply that God is love. It doesn't say God is loving, but that God is love. It's who he is. It's an absolutely essential part of his nature. And that love is the reason he took human form and came and took that punishment. I mean, it is mind-blowing if you really dig deep into that. God loves us so much. God, his entire being is about love. So much he took human form to come and take that punishment for us. The verse I really want to look at this evening, though, is verse 18, because it's about freedom that we're looking today. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Perfect love is what God has shown through Jesus. Perfect love drives out fear. Fear is what we shouldn't need anymore, because God's taken that punishment. We shouldn't be frightened. We shouldn't feel condemned. We shouldn't feel negative about things we've done wrong. We should just bring them to God, because Jesus has already taken that punishment. So that perfect love drives our fear, which means we're free to be people with no guilt, people with no fear of punishment. In his letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, "It is for freedom that we've been set free." I love that verse. It used to be on a banner in our church many years ago. It is for freedom that you have been set free. What does that mean? Well, Paul was writing to Galatians who were mainly Jews, and he was saying to them, you've been freed from the requirements of the Old Testament law about sacrifice, because Jesus' sacrifice was once and for all. You don't need to go through all that rigmarole of sacrifice and the Old Testament law, because Jesus has done away with that part of the Old Testament law. And he's saying, don't make the mistake of giving up one set of rules for another set of rules. There was a danger in the Galatian church that we were becoming very legalistic as Christians. And Paul says, no, it's for freedom that you've been set free. You've been freed from the requirements of the Old Testament law to do with sacrifice. Don't get tied up with other rules and regulations. And that's so true for us today as well. Many Christians seem to make the Christian life adhering to a set of rules, and it isn't. It's a relationship with God, not adhering to a set of rules. What Jesus did on the cross sets us free from all of that. It's for freedom that we've been set free. Does that mean we can do as we like? Well, Paul makes it very clear, no. It's not freedom to do anything we like. It's freedom to be the people that God wants us to be. I used to think being a Christian meant we had to conform to some sets of rules. I used to think all Christians had to think the same, behave the same, believe the same. And nothing could be further from the truth. God doesn't want us all to be the same and behave the same. God made you and he made me unique. We have unique life experiences. We have unique experiences of God at work in our lives. We have unique giftings that God has given us. He doesn't want us to all be the same. We only have to look at nature to see that God doesn't want everything to be the same. God wants us to be the unique person he meant us to be. But of course, he wants us to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. He created you and he created me unique to be the people he wants us to be. But he wants us to be the best version of that person. And that's the challenge for us, isn't it? That's the challenge. How do we become the best version of ourselves? Because we can be very hard on ourselves, can't we? We know our own weaknesses. We know where we keep letting God down. We know we're not perfect. But the whole point of God's love is to do away with that fear and that condemnation that we can feel when we're not perfect, when we make mistakes, when we get things wrong. And you know, when we get things wrong, we have a choice. We can choose to say, you know what, this is who I am, this is how I am, and I can't do anything about it. I let God down by doing this or that. And I can't do anything about it. And you just feel bad about it and you do nothing. And we're no use to God if we do that. If we just feel bad about ourselves. The other choice we have is a choice to take our weaknesses, to take our mistakes to God. Honestly. And say, I'm sorry, I've messed up here. And if we do that genuinely, God forgives us and he strengthens us in our weakness. At the beginning of this series in 1 John, when we looked at the first chapter, we read the verse that says in John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise in 1 John. If we confess our sins, if we're genuine, if we genuinely come to God and say sorry, we're forgiven. It's just the way it is. If we're genuine saying sorry, we're forgiven. We go to God and we confess, we're forgiven and we're strengthened, and then we can go and do stuff for God. When we feel bad about our mistakes, that's from the enemy. The enemy rejoices when we feel bad about ourselves. Oh, you're not much of a Christian. You get this wrong. You get that wrong. We all get things wrong. Nobody is perfect. What we've got to do when we get things wrong is take it to God and say, sorry. Help me not to do that again, and equip me to go away and to do stuff that helps your kingdom. We don't need to feel bad about ourselves. It's for freedom we've been set free. Perfect love drives out fear and condemnation. We can take it to God and be equipped and strengthened. Verse 19 tells us, we love because he first loved us. We need to use our freedom to love other people. God has loved us. It's pass it on. Pay it forward. God loves you. He wants you to love other people. I was preaching in the morning service a few weeks ago, and something really struck me so much that I'm going to repeat it now. So sorry if you heard this a few weeks ago, but there was a verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, saying, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And as I was looking at that and praying about it, I got that real sense that God's given all these blessings. God treats us as special in that way. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people belonging to God. But he doesn't do it just so that we feel good. It's so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God treats us as a chosen people and a royal priesthood so that we can go out and bless other people. We can go out and share our knowledge of God so that we can praise him who called us out of darkness. He loves us so that we can love others. He blesses us so that we can bless others. He forgives us so that we can forgive others. He gives us spiritual gifts. We might be gifted with encouragement or hospitality or something, so that we can bless others. We're not given all of these things just so we have a nice warm glow about ourselves and think, you know, God loves me. Wow, that's great. Of course he wants us to enjoy his love. He wants us to feel really good about his love for us, but not just to sit there and feel that. He wants us to use it so that we bless others, forgive others, love others. Perfect love, God's perfect love, drives out fear, drives out condemnation, sets us free. Free to be the unique individual that God created you and me to be. Free to be the best version of that unique individual. Let's use that freedom to declare his love to the world and to love and to bless others. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, love is such a vast, vast thing, and you are love, and your love sets us free. Sets us free so that we can love others, bless others. Lord, help us not to stay in a bad place when we mess up. Help us to bring our mistakes to you, Lord, to confess them, genuinely say sorry, and ask you, Lord, to restore us and strengthen us, knowing that your promise in Scripture is that you will do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, that perfect love drives our fear. Thank you that you showed that perfect love in what you did through Jesus on the cross. Strengthen us for this coming week, Lord. Help us to be a blessing to all that we meet. Help us to bless our church family. Help us to bless our community. In Jesus' name. Amen.